Greetings, Grandad here, and here to bring you a few things before we kickstart the show today. Firstly, a listener's message to say that the jokes and impressions in this show are simply for the purpose of entertainment and not meant to cause any offense. It would be great if you could take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcast and drop us a review if you are enjoying the show. Find us on our Facebook page, Better Show, and there you will find more spooky tales, both fiction and non-fiction. And lastly, don your tinfoil hats, crack your heads back as far as they will go, and look to the stars, because tonight is going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet, you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
It's Grandad!
And Grandma!
Back with episode 21 of Better Show. When was the last episode you were on?
The earthquake one.
What was that? Okay.
Pokemon.
Well, we jumped a bit because we had a double Valentine's Day special, but we won't be talking about love anymore.
Love is overrated.
We have another heavy hitter episode for you. We are going to be covering the events that happened in Japan, and apparently are still happening, as far as I'm aware, in Taiji. And it's to do with an area known as the Cove. So to start off with, the fish trade is a truly massive industry that makes up a massive portion of the food that we as a species consume. But at what point do we take a step back and ask what we're doing to every species? Is it truly all right? So the documentary that I found, which is appropriately named The Cove, is presented by the Oceanic Society. Taiji has a front that makes most look at it and think this is a place that loves whales and dolphins. Rick Obery says that he has to enter Taiji with a mask because the fishermen would kill him if they were to ever know that he was here, even though he was formally given a key to the city. SeaWorld also have said that they don't like Rick and don't want him talking about the dolphin slaughter. So,
SeaWorld.
Yeah. I don't know what you think about SeaWorld. You've been to SeaWorld, haven't you? Was that in Florida?
Yeah. The car park is like stupidly ridiculous compared to the space the animals get.
I love that's your comment.
No.
Was it difficult to park, Grandma?
No, you see...
Were you not able to find the disabled parking spot?
If you see it from, like, an overhead sky view,
yeah,
car park is most of the picture, and the animal space is, like, that big.
Fuck. That makes me feel even worse.
Like, they're literally... Killer whales, for example, get fuck all space.
Yeah.
Even in their little paddocks, it's no bigger than, like, a regular swimming pool.
Mm.
And they're fucking killer whales. They're massive.
Yeah. So in this documentary, the gentleman from the Oceanic Society, I believe, meets up with Rick.
Oh, Mr. Overy, you mean?
Mr. Overy? What?
You said Rick Overy.
No, I didn't. It was Rick Obery. Oh. So Rick, once they arrive back at the hotel, three undercover policemen actually interrogate Rick. So Rick had never actually planned to be an animal activist, but once events started to play out, that's where he decided to take his life. And now whenever there's a dolphin in trouble in the world, his phone will ring. There was actually an occasion where two dolphins were seen swimming in a swimming pool, just absolutely full of their own filth. The water had actually turned a deep green from the poisonous chemistry of the water, and he managed to team up with the military forces at the time and have the dolphins be freed. Rick has actually been arrested at least three times while attempting to set three dolphins in captivity. This story collaborative story of this documentary even includes murder, specifically two murders, one of Jane Tipson and the second of Jenny May. Jenny May was followed down a beach while Rick was actually absent in hospital and strangled to death with a belt. Ooh. So, have you ever heard of the TV series Flipper? No? Okay, so it's an American TV series that was was made up of three seasons and was rated 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and 85% of ratings are positive towards the show. There were 88 fucking episodes of this show.
In three seasons?
Fuck yeah. So yeah. The first episode aired on the 19th of September 1964 and the last aired on the 15th of April 1967. Some of the episode titles include, and I love all these titles, Devil Ray, A Dolphin in Time, Dolphins Don't Sleep, Flipper and the Seal, Flipper and the Fugitive, Flipper's Island, Cupid's Flipper, and those were just a few episode titles alone from season 3.
I'm gonna break it down a little. Okay. Flipper and the Fugitive was probably Flipper and the person trying to escape the Berlin Wall. Because that's what I thought.
Why do we take it to Berlin? Why?
You know, or maybe, you know, the Red Scare and he was a Russian trying to...
What I love is that there's even Flipper's Island. It was like, fuck you, motherfuckers, I'm gonna go set up my own fucking island. Yeah.
Flipper just can't take your shit anymore.
So
he flippered you right off.
So in the series itself, Flipper the Dolphin was actually played by five separate female dolphins, and they're all captured by Rick himself, who feels a great amount of regret by aiding in the creation of an industry that desires dolphins so that people can swim and interact with them.
So he's a dolphin cavalier man now because he feels guilty.
Yes.
Shame.
To be fair, though... I mean, I've always felt that repentance is a really kind of flimsy thing, and there are certain media, purely fictional pieces out there that speculate on redemption, but I don't believe that they are. I've got to go back to Star Wars and say that I never believed that Vader's redemption was actually correct.
How did he really redeem himself?
Because he killed kids, but...
you know.
But in this, I really do feel that all the stuff that he's done throughout this documentary, and even following on from that, has truly redeemed him from what he did. And he didn't partake in the slaughter of these dolphins. He just partaked in the fairly humane way of capturing these dolphins and then training them up to be part of the show. So a news reporter who reported on the capturing of these dolphins says, "The entire crew turns to battle station teamwork. When the porpoise is in sight, not a moment can be lost. The men handle this creature with infinite care. She seems to sense that she has come home. No harm will come to her now. She is safe."
They have like fucking harpoon guns.
Well, I've seen the footage, and I think the most inhumane part is them actually dragging the dolphin onto the boat.
They're probably there like fucking harpooning him onto the fucking boat.
I don't know how that works, Grandma. I don't though. This isn't Gmod fucking logic. You can't like ragdoll a dolphin. You can't like harpoon it with such velocity that it bounces off the surface of the ocean, then out of the ocean onto the boat.
You haven't seen the harpoon I'm using.
Oh, okay. Is this like a world destroying harpoon? So Rick had to train Flipper in reflection to the script that was written. Rick actually lived in the Flipper house that features in the show, and during Friday evenings when the show would be televised, he would take his television down to the dock so that Kathy the Dolphin, which was one of the five dolphins that was Flipper, could watch herself on television.
So his dolphin wife?
Oh, he had a wife. So what turned Rick away from the Flipper the Dolphin training program was the death of Kathy. Oh. So for a dolphin to breathe, it is a conscious effort, which is quoted from Rick himself. And another quote from Rick himself is, "She swam into my arms and looked me right in the eye and took a breath and didn't take another one. And I just let her go and she sank straight down on her belly to the bottom of the tank." So Flipper the Dolphin essentially committed suicide. I don't know if you've ever seen a dolphin's breathing close up, but it's the same as most aquatic mammals, where they have a blowhole that has like a flap of skin or muscle, mm-hmm. where they can close up, and that's
it's kind of like an eye.
Yeah.
Sort of eyelid.
Yeah, what she essentially did. The next day, Rick was actually jailed after the death of Kathy because he wanted to free as many captive dolphins as he could. He is also quoted on saying that a dolphin's smile is known as nature's greatest illusion, as it creates the image that a dolphin is always smiling. Rick states that it's important to see dolphins in the wild if you want to truly understand why they don't belong in captivity. Dolphins can travel 40 miles a day and are known as acoustic creatures, and can be seen and can actually use their acoustic navigation to see bones in people and also see if they are pregnant or not. They are so intelligent and advanced that they, once they're put inside a concrete pen and surrounded by screaming people, that can actually stress them to death. So, in this documentary, it's shown that to shepherd these dolphins into being captured, multiple boats drive the dolphins with a wall of sound that is created by banging on submerged poles that they hit with hammers. They are then left in a cornered-off area overnight, and in the morning the trainers arrive to choose which dolphins they want. These dolphins are then flown all the way around the world. The other dolphins, however, and this is like a collection of how many dolphins roughly are killed, hundreds and thousands of dolphins have died in the cove. Fishermen patrol the area with knives. Anyone can see the captured dolphins from the road, but it's in the hidden cove where people cannot see what's going on. It seems that a misplaced national pride would seem to be in place where they are tired of being told what to do by the West, and that they are told that they cannot be doing what they're doing. So it's almost like that some of them know that what they're doing is wrong, but because the West's telling them no, they're going to stubbornly do it, just to be like, oh, we're making our own decision. There's actually a whale museum in Taiji where you can go and watch dolphins and at the same time fucking eat their meat. So the International Whaling Community, which is abbreviated to IWC, do not consider dolphins under their protection because they're smaller creatures. However, they're still technically whales. So during the Greek era, it was actually punishable by death to harm a dolphin. And there are clear demonstrations of a dolphin and human relationship, one of which is where a dolphin was actually documented in saving a surfer from a tiger shark by T-boning it. Another one, and I can't remember, I think it's in the Amazon somewhere, there is a shoal of dolphins that will work with fishermen. So the fishermen will put their nets into the water, then the dolphins will then team herd the fish towards the shore, so the fishermen can then catch the catch, and then the fishermen will then throw a select amount of that catch back to the dolphins in order to reward them for their efforts.
There was an incident of some diver getting hurt, and sharks or whatever, the dolphins would like swim around the diver until he got away, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know where that was or when that was, but I've heard of it.
Mm. So in 2007, members of a surfing community went out and attempted a peaceful answer with these fishermen, but had to pull the pin on the operation because of how aggressive the fishermen got. One of these surfers was Charles Hamilton, known as an adrenaline junkie. Yeah! And he was also called by Rick O'Berry as part of his team. So the Hidden Cove is a natural fortress that is surrounded by tall cliffs from three sides and is only accessible through tunnels which are protected by cornered off by fences. A special team were brought together to create a way of hiding high-definition cameras. One way was of a drone shaped like a dolphin, which I think is not all that good a way of hiding. I don't think they're going to be like, oh, what's that? Oh, he's a flying dolphin. Ah, perfectly natural.
Yeah, like a robot dolphin.
Ah, perfectly natural. Let's just get back to doing our horrible shit. But, yes, yeah, so I think they scrapped that because I think they did it more as a way of tributing because they named it the same name as the dolphin that essentially committed suicide.
Oh, no, they didn't call it Cafe.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Emotion.
So, yeah, so it was more of respect to Rick. But, so the crew embarked on their mission with 47 suitcases and found it difficult to be discreet as they were all Westerners in a place where there were no Westerners, with big black cases. So even when they first entered the country, they were tailed by individuals like the chief of police. The first encounters with the fishermen, it was discovered that it is a relatively small group of people who are doing this and claim it is part of their culture. And they also compared it to how we eat cows. But with that said, most of the population don't actually know what's going on in the cove. Dolphin meat contains valuable nutrients. I don't think I'm going to try and argue that. However, much like most fish that are caught in the ocean, some of them contain a dangerous level of mercury, which can be dangerous to humans as well as aquatic life. The dolphin meat is actually considered to be a lot less desirable than many others, but they're still being slaughtered in large numbers, which begs the question, where is all this meat going? It would seem that, much like the horse meat scandal that we've had here in the UK, the meat is actually being labelled up as more desirable whale meat. Children, as a result, are being born with deformities because of the poisoning from the mercury and are suffering with symptoms such as blindness and loss of other senses.
Jeez.
During one of these mass slaughters, and this is probably one of the hardest bits to watch of the Cove documentary, one of the dolphins is videoed attempting an escaped attempt and jumps over a few of the nets, but as it's desperately trying to flee but also keep itself buoyant, you can see that it's trailing a large old trail of blood. And I think in one of the documentaries I've seen, I seem to remember it noticed somewhere, it was either partly or completely severed of its back fin.
Oh.
So most dolphins won't be able to keep themselves alive if they lose that. So let's go into the mission, which consists of three parts. During the dead of night, the team set about deploying their equipment and taking into account details as how long it will take for the police to reach them from the next town should they need to make a quick escape attempt. They almost get caught by two men on a patrol. During the dive, the team could hear the doomed dolphins communicating with each other as well as the divers. Leaving on their second mission, the team were straight from the beginning trailed by the police. Getting spooked by local wildlife, the team were obviously on high alert because of the past patrols. The second mission's aim was to retrieve the kit that the team had left in their hiding places. Once back at the base, they reviewed the footage. You could see, so we're going to go over the footage at the end of the episode. It's pretty fucked, but I'm going to describe what I saw. So you can see the dolphins being driven into the cove. Under the water, they have a camera as well, and the water is turned red with the blood as the fishermen in the boats were just stabbing at the dolphins with giant pikes, dragging in 20 or so per fishing boat. The water was so red with blood that when they were finished, it looked like thick red jello. Exactly like they had done with larger whales in the past, slaughtering everyone they could get. It's been documented and filmed that by a representative claiming that these dolphins are actually being slaughtered humanely or as humanely as possible, but then claim ignorance when they see this footage of the contrary. So the next stage of the mission is absolutely incredible. Rick Obrey enters a conference hall full of world representatives with a television strapped to his chest playing footage of the atrocities in the cove. He also did the same on the streets to spread the word. It was really kind of emotional to see him do that. He was unfortunately escorted out afterwards by security, but you could see the kind of looks on the people's faces. No one there really truly had a grasp on what the fuck was going on. So there was also a campaign that Roger Payne aided massively in kickstarting the Save the Whale movement, and he used the audio recording of a distressed call from a humpback whale, which he played out in London's Trafalgar Square, I believe. I think the footage was a bit unclear about which square it was, but from the footage I saw it looked like Trafalgar Square. Scientists believe that dolphins could be more intelligent than we are. They are self-aware like humans and believe that dolphins can recognise themselves in a mirror and can anticipate what's going to happen to them, much like they did in the Killing Cove. Both dolphins and whales have been known to approach divers and are very curious and happy to interact with the divers. There's even been accounts of dolphins allowing their bellies to be rubbed from divers they have never met before, and these are 100% wild dolphins. There is a belief that whales and dolphins are aiding in the decrease of fishable fish, and as a result, their extermination is being labelled as pest control. So I've only got a few notes left, so we're going to see how far we've got into this episode, and I'm going to be playing the footage for you. Fair warning, it's not all that pleasant. So the moment we've just got the fishermen sitting around a campfire singing their Japanese campfire songs.
Oh, we killed dolphins.
I would do the SpongeBob campfire song, but they're alphabet. They have like three alphabets, so fuck choosing one. And first light, they go out on their boats. So the dolphins have already been captured from the night before. And then they're then pulled or shepherded into this cove area.
Bloody hell, it's a lot of blood, isn't it?
That's not blood, that's gnats.
Oh, it looks all kind of bloody colour.
Well, it's probably blood soaked from all the other events, but they're the dolphins. So those
I think that's actually a harpoon. It's kind of harpooning to me.
I just don't know if harpoon required something that would actually launch it.
No, not necessarily.
Okay. So that's the underwater camera.
Yeah, he just threw his. Threw me like flood gun.
There's nothing humane about that.
No. No, there isn't. It's because they can do it and get away with doing it.
Exactly, especially as they're, like I said before, that they somehow justify this as being part of their tradition.
They're trying to change. Shouldn't they have to do it anymore?
They're still doing it.
Be interesting to see a statistic of how many they kill a year.
It's a lot.
I mean, what's that? That's like, what, 30 dolphins? Maybe more?
Definitely more.
It's kind of hard to tell because obviously the camera keeps going everywhere, but it's a fair few.
Yeah.
And they're not just stabbing them once either, people are gutting them like loads.
Well, they don't need them alive at this point.
If they were going to use them afterwards, it wouldn't make it any easier to justify, but at least there's a reason, kind of.
Well, they're only going to be used for meat at this point.
Yeah, but like...
I think the massive problem that I have with it is that, unlike things like tuna and haddock and whatever, these are mammals. So, and they've... Well, some, they believe that dolphins are even more intelligent than humans.
Yeah.
So, there's more than just a fight and flight response. There's a family unit.
Tuna and haddock are purposely bred in their thousands upon thousands to be eaten.
Dolphins aren't purposely driven. No, these are wild dolphins that they've stolen away from the wild and just murdered. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, the water just becomes thick with blood.
I can't even get why you'd want to be swimming in that water either.
Well, they're going around making sure that they haven't lost any profit. Because a dead dolphin will only get you so many hundred, but a live dolphin will get you so many thousand, because obviously it'll bring in profit from SeaWorld or wherever it's going. But they're wanting to get every single penny that they can from their efforts. So there are a few last notes that I've got. So one of the individuals that takes part in this kind of cover-up is someone that the team that investigated this labeled as Private Space, and he is an individual that once you go there with a camera, he'll stand in front of the camera and film you with his own camera to try and block your footage, but also then document the fact that you've been there as well. He's also, him and his team have also been documented trying to aggravate the team to the point of where there'll be a fight and then the team will be arrested and taken away, therefore getting rid of the problem. Mm. And there was, I can't remember if it was Private Space or not, but one of these individuals actually went up to Rick with a dead, already dead baby dolphin, but then essentially decapitated it in front of him in order to try and get an emotional response, which Rick very nearly did, but quite justifiably, to have something like that happen just so kind of tauntingly is pretty fucked. But since the documentary has come out, Private Space has actually been removed from his position in the Cove. Dolphin meat has also been removed from school lunch program at Taiji. The fact that it was included in the school fucking meal program.
Yeah, I don't understand if it's an already dead dolphin, but...
What do you mean by an already dead dolphin? Well, what does that mean?
If it died of natural causes.
Yeah,
or,
but then how would you be able to justify eating that meat? Because most people don't eat roadkill.
We eat cows.
Yeah, but they're killed.
Yeah, they're killed and eaten.
So what's your point? This is exactly the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of lost my point.
I mean, it's a bit difficult. It's a bit difficult to monitor meat because as soon as it's died, it's then open to flies and disease and God knows what. Mm. Even though it's in the ocean, you've still got things that are going to feast on that and parasite on it. So it's not clean meat that you'll then be selling if it's just died of natural causes. I guess what you were trying to bring up is the fact that even cows, they're bred for the purpose of slaughter.
Yes,
but even with cows, there's a lot more of it. There's a more humane way that we've got at the moment of killing a cow.
Yeah, if it's farmed and, humanely killed, then I guess it'd be different. But these people don't seem like, well, the culture itself doesn't seem like they would be a humane kill.
No, and we've just seen from that footage that it's not humane methods that they're using to kill these dolphins.
Maybe what, 8 foot long, 7 foot long poles? Pole spikes that are just stabbing into him.
Yeah, and there's no accuracy with that.
No, I mean, it might be longer than 8 feet, but it looked long.
Yeah. It'd be slightly different if they were getting into the water with them and using something similar to a bolt gun like they use on cows, because that is quite merciful. The cow probably doesn't even know what's going to happen to them. So, although it sucks with anything dying, I should probably have specified at the beginning of this episode my aim was not to make you vegan, and I'm not going to start saying you shouldn't eat cow meat and you shouldn't do that, but I think there should be a point where every individual thinks about where their food is coming from. And if it is dolphin, there's a chance that it's not been harvested humanely. There's a big old chance. Same with any kind of whale meat. I kind of steer away from that as best I can. But the problem is with me, as much as I do like aquatic life, I do like things like squid and most fish. The only thing I won't eat is octopus because of the way it's prepared, and pufferfish. But apart from that, everything else is fair game. Not to put it morbidly, but yeah. So with doing this episode, I feel like some people may be asking, well, it's all very well talking about it, but what am I actually doing in order to aid in the prevention of this? Because I think that everyone does have a way in order to put their best foot forward and to aid in the preservation of wildlife and the protection of these creatures. So for me personally, I'm still in college at the moment. And as part of my final major project, I'm putting together a very emotional piece that will include a lot of hand-drawn images of not just things like happening at the cove, but also the pollution and accidental capture of dolphins, whales, things like that, where they get caught in fishing nets and die because they're not being pulled in, and the pollution of our oceans as well. So trying to send a very clear message with some very vivid images.
Oh, the amount of boats that must kill these fish as well, though, just by...
Well, they're passing over
and rudders.
Yeah, there was a documentary that I was watching a few weeks ago that talked about the amount of manatees that are hurt by boats.
Speed boats.
Yeah.
Big fishing boats. Probably even cruise ships to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Because dolphins will cruise alongside cruise ships because they're curious about what they are.
If they get caught, if they get pulled under, they'll get throttled anyway, won't they?
Absolutely. It's a purely terrible thing that's happening at the cove, and there's no justification towards it. But yeah, it was a topic that I wanted to cover ever since I first started Better Show. I just needed the research behind it. But it took me a while, but I got there in the end. How bummed out are you feeling?
Yeah, could have given me a little bit more of a warning.
Sorry, what are you? Yeah, it's not a happy topic by any means. Sorry, man.
And then the other day we had like, what was the statistic? Like
140,000
people
died.
140,000
people
dead in like,
I mean, only two people have died as a result of this, and both of them were murders. But still, God knows how many dolphins have died. And maybe not just dolphins, but also smaller whales as well. God knows. But as all as part... I think that's why I won't go to SeaWorld, is because I haven't yet seen Blackfish. I hear it's a really difficult documentary to watch. It's mainly about orcas in captivity. So for those who know them by their public name, killer whales. But you've been to London Sea Life, haven't you?
Not sure, possibly.
The one that's just off the Thames?
I feel like I might have done, but...
Oh, okay. If anyone goes there, I mean, I find it really difficult to justify the captivity of any creature. And this is coming from someone that has a tank of their own. But there's a point where there's two lines that I draw in the sand. One where a lot of creatures have a flight and fright response, so they wouldn't understand what's going on and probably wouldn't know any different. And also that they're being given, assuming that you're giving them the correct amount of care, they're having a better chance than they would in the wild because they're facing
cheetahs.
They're facing no natural predators.
Well, it's natural poachers as well.
That too.
You know, tigers, for example, they were heavily poached.
Mm.
Now they're in a not as near to go extinct figure around the world.
Yeah, when it's being done like that, but the problem, because even on safaris it's okay, but when you're putting a dolphin or a whale inside a concrete space where they navigate with sound, where they're being face-fucked by sound from all directions by the public, it's not a pleasant space to be in.
No.
So yeah, that's one of my lines in the sand, and the other being that they're being given a better chance in the wild. But even in London Sea Life, there's one exhibit that I just can't face and enjoy. It's the penguin one. So they have, I can't remember what species of penguin they have, but they do have a selected breed of penguin there. And their enclosure isn't all that big. They do have a deep water area, but they also have a land area that you can see from a viewing window. And the backdrop that they have is of an endless kind of Icelandic desert. And the poor bastards just stand there and stare at it. They have their backs to you and they just stare at this fucking backdrop. And you can see that they kind of yearn for it.
Gen 2 penguins.
Yeah. So, although it's nice to see penguins, there's a point where I think to myself, is it okay to have these things in captivity? Same with things like sharks. I think we've spoken before on a podcast, you and I, and we'd argued it out that there's been no successful captivity program where they've been able to have a great white shark for any long period of time because they always die. I don't think it's actually confirmed as to why that is, but I think it's just due to the fact that it's environment and space. Great white shark can travel miles and miles.
You know, if they stop moving, they actually die.
That's only with most sharks. I know there are some breeds of sharks that doesn't apply. I think it is proven
that great white sharks can feel some level of emotions. Maybe they get depressed and die.
Because
they're pretty alone.
There was also I think it was alongside the whole flipper thing, because at least Kathy was kept in a saltwater lagoon instead of a captivity pod or whatever. That most of the dolphins during that time were actually dying, either down to the whole depression thing or the fact that the filter systems weren't able to cater for them. But yeah, it's pretty fucked, and there's a lot of different angles to attack it from, but at the end of the day, that's where I stand on it. So, thank you very much, Grandma, for joining me for this episode of Bear Show. We got so real so quick.
We always get
so real so quick. But you know what? I wasn't trying to sex you. I just really like your sleeping face. So,
I'm gonna politely go now.
So, whether it is day or night, evening or the weekend, we hope you have a very good life and death. And we will see you guys for the next episode of Better Show, where we hope for it to be a better show.